Welcome to Investor Talk Radio, hosted by Kurt Davis. During the show, Kurt will share tips and strategies as well as guest interviews on how you can become a successful real estate investor. Kurt Davis was a former chef for 11 years until one day had the opportunity to take a leap of faith, left cooking, and became a full-time real estate investor. Kurt has been building his personal portfolio of rental property and at the same time has helped over 500 investors around the globe purchase cash-flowing rental properties. He is a licensed realtor who has achieved multi-million dollar club status, and he is also very active in the local real estate investment club. And now, here is your host, Kurt Davis.
Welcome to another edition of Investor Talk Radio. I am your host and founder, Kurt Davis, coming at you on Thursday, February, what is it?
26.
I am joined by Craig Jennings, owner and founder of Buy Memphis Now. Craig, how's it going today?
It's going good.
Listen, I'm so glad you're able to join me today. I know it's been a busy week and trying to nail down this podcast here, but we're going to talk a little bit about what are some good characteristics that make up a property management company, not just management company, but a good management company. And I know that yes, 10 different people, and they're going to have some of the same characteristics, but, they might have some different ones. So I've really kind of put together a list of some things that I wanted to kind of touch on and get your thoughts and feedback on, because, there's a lot of companies that do what we do, but really I think a lot of it is the management that sets a lot of the companies apart. What do you think?
I think that's exactly right. I think management's one of the most important. No, not one of the most. It's the most important. It's the management. It's you can overpay for a property and have great management and still have a profitable venue. And if you on the same note, you can get a great deal on a house but have poor management and have a bad investment. So it's the most important thing in getting a profitable rental.
Yeah, listen, I totally agree. Just kind of starting off here with some of the characteristics. Now, I want everybody to understand that these are ones that I kind of selected just by, things of what I've been talking with past clients, looking online, reading forums, and these are kind of some, this is a list that I kind of compiled and put together. So one of the first things I think is very important when looking at property management company is are they a licensed management company? Craig, there's really kind of two management company school thoughts here. There's the independent property management company, and then there's also the in-house management company, typically owned by like a turnkey provider. Obviously management companies need to be licensed. There's real estate agents that work there that I believe show the properties. They have to be licensed real estate agents. There has to be a brokerage investment firm involved. I kind of feel that this is important because there are some turnkey companies out there that, do their own in-house management. You don't have to be a licensed agent to sell your own properties and manage your own properties. But once you sell that home to a client, I don't really think you're supposed to manage for them if you're not a licensed management company. I mean, any thoughts on that?
Well, that's correct. And there's a lot of reasons why you would need to have someone with a real estate license and have a licensed management office. Number one, you're just kind of a bigger. They're going to have to adhere to the board of a code of conduct set forth with realtors and things like that. But I'd say one of the biggest issues has to do with like security deposits. Is a management company that's licensed, goes by all the rules set forth by the board of realtors here at each state. We have to take the deposit. It doesn't go into my checking account. It goes into an escrow account that I can't touch. The investor can't touch. Nobody can touch. It sits there. And the purpose of a deposit is supposed to be someone moves in, they put it there. When they move out, if the house is in good shape, they get it back. We generally end up having to use the deposit to go to get in the house rent ready again. But one of the biggest things I've always heard is when, these little, mom and pops that do it on their own, a lot of times they take that deposit and they're like, well, I just keep the deposit. Well, that's illegal. And it can, it can hurt the investor, and it can open them up to a lawsuit and things like that. So that's just one of the reasons.
And that's really why it's critical for investors to make sure that they are dealing with a licensed firm, because it really kind of keeps the management company legally in check.
That's right.
So anybody out there listening, make sure that you are dealing with a licensed, legitimate management company.
Yeah, we've heard a lot of horror stories lately about the unlicensed guy that takes all the rent and deposits, and you've got a bunch of investors out there with one or two properties, and next thing you know, this investor is, you know, been telling stories and keeping rents or keeping deposits, makes a lot of money,
I'm so eager to jump in here, and the reason why, Craig, because a colleague that you and I know here down the road sold a house to a lady from China like 2 years ago under a different company, and that lady came to town and was talking to this individual and was like, I haven't been getting my rent for 12 months. So this colleague that we know contacted the gentleman who was overseeing and doing the management for this out-of-country client. Now, understand, this guy's not a licensed real estate agent. He's just a one-off guy, right? So the colleague and this client, when she came to town, they went to the house and knocked on the door and talked to the tenant. And the tenant said, I've been paying my rent every single month to the property manager. Basically, what that means is that property manager has been pocketing all the cash flow for the last 12 months. So that's the kind of stuff that you got to watch out for. Make sure you're dealing with licensed property management companies. It's absolutely critical.
That's right.
Another thing that I put on here is you know, how long has the management company been in business? You know, one thing to kind of keep in mind is that management companies are going to grow at a specific rate. Obviously, turnkey companies who have in-house management potentially can grow quicker than the independent management company. But, you know, you want to make sure that you're dealing with somebody. If they've been around for a long time, that should be a sign that they've figured out what needs to be done to manage correctly. And the reason why I put this one on there, Craig, because when I first bought my very first two rental properties, the management company, the company I was with at the time we were helping promote, they were just getting started. And we helped them grow very quickly because, you know, we were selling a lot of homes, and they were doing great at first. Everything seemed to be great. Well, then I think they started to experience some growing pains, and then they kind of thought that they were going to do things their way, and they weren't really paying attention to clients. Long story short, they turned into a bad management company. And typically when that happens, you get a very bad name, and eventually that company is going to go away. But oddly enough, that company to this date still manages my first two homes, and they are fantastic. Their communication is great. They let me know exactly what's going on. They have finally figured it out, and they've had it figured out for several years now, but usually companies don't rebound. I mean, do you personally feel, Craig, that it's important to maybe consider how long a management company's been in business? Is that something that you feel is a legitimate thing to look at?
Yeah, it is. And that, you know, that can be said about a lot of businesses. But what you're saying is tough. When a company is good, a lot of time they'll start growing really fast. And, you know, we'll get the calls from investors that have been with us a long time, say, man, back in the day, I used to always get the call. One of the downfalls of growing really fast is you can lose the personal touch. You're not able to really call each investor and just kind of talk to them for 30 minutes and, you know, hey, how you doing? This is going on with this property. And you lose the personal touch because you have to get systems in place with computers and things like that. But, the length of time is important. But there are some companies that have been, you know, that are not that good that have been around a long time. But generally, if they've been around a long time, they're doing a bad job, you can get on the internet and research it and hear enough bad stories about them to find that out.
Absolutely. Another one that I put on there, this is kind of a tricky one that I'm going to kind of bring up here, Craig, because and maybe this is just kind of more from an internal standpoint. You know, someone like you and I might totally understand this, but the outside individual who owns the rental properties might not take this into account. So that's why I'm kind of bringing it up is how well staffed is the management company, and how well paid are their employees and or leasing agents? And, you know, I know a lot of people out there, the average property management fees that we'll see on average, you know, a management company will charge anywhere between half the first month's rent and a full first month's rent for a placement fee, and then they'll charge anywhere between 8 to 10% monthly management fee. And you know, we've seen it before where the investor gets upset because management fees went from 9 to 10%, or they went from half the first month's rent to a full, and you know, the initial thought from the client is well, nothing's changed for me and I'm not happy. I want things to stay the same. And I think what a lot of investors don't really think about is that as companies continue to grow, in order to really attract high quality level employees and to be able to pay the leasing agents an attractive fee and basically keep everybody happy, you have to kind of pay a little bit of a premium to attract a better quality worker. So therefore, obviously, as a management company grows, they're going to have to staff accordingly. So I know that that's something that people don't really think about, but I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I've been associated with both type companies. One that had a little lower fees, but they also had less staff. And basically the way it would work is they had all the signs out in front of the homes that were for rent. People would come in, pay a key deposit, get a key, take it out and go show themselves the property. And may, you know, then come back, return the key, get their deposit back. And that's, you know, from as far as employees, that's a lot more cost effective. It makes it makes the place run cheaper. They're able to lower their fees. The place I deal with now, they probably have 20 to 25 leasing agents, and they take each person there and they show them the property. Now, their rental fees are a little more each month, you know, probably 1% more a month. But they're, you know, they get a commission when they rent out a property. But a lot of times we see places rent quicker when you have a person there making the sale, showing them the property, overcoming objections. You know, sometimes somebody may come in and they don't want to rent the place because they don't like the color of something or something very small that to them seems like a big issue, to where if we have a you know, leasing agent on site with them, we can overcome that objection. So, I mean, maybe it costs 1% more as a investor per month, and when you consider an average rent of $900, you know, that ends up being $9 a month difference.
Sure.
But if it rents 30 days quicker, then it makes all the difference in the world. So we think the time of getting places rented quicker overcomes the expense of the extra 1%. So, I tend to go that way.
And you kind of actually brought up something that I had a little bit down the road, but we'll just get to it right now because you brought up a really good point as far as, you know, one of the things I was going to ask is how does the management company show homes to prospective tenants? And like you said, you know, we've kind of been a part of both school of thoughts. You know, the one school of thought was a tenant drives by in front of the home and they see the sign. So when they call the sign, it rings to the main office, and that person there basically tells the tenant that if they want to see the home, they have to drive all the way to their office, which could be a 45-minute round trip just to do that. You have to put up some money for a key deposit. They take a copy of their driver's license. Then prospective tenant takes that key, goes back to the home, lets themselves in, shows themselves around, does not really have anybody to ask them any questions. And then that tenant also has to drive all the way back across town then to drop the key off. And I think that's a failed model for a lot of reasons. One, like I said, there's some salesmanship that happens here between leasing agents and prospective tenants to help get them in. But at the same time, I see it far more as a liability security type issue. I mean, you don't know about these people. They could leave the back door open on purpose and come back and rob the house.
Or make a copy of the key.
Absolutely. So,
and it, you know, most rental companies have stuff set on some sort of master key system. So if you're giving them a key to that, and they not only have access to that house, but others, it's an idea that just doesn't sit well with me, kind of.
And I kind of like what's actually happening with the management company we're affiliated with now, because there's one call. When the tenant calls that number, it goes to kind of like a central operator. That operator then will put that prospective tenant in touch with the leasing agent who has been assigned to that designated zip code. So it's a far more accurate or a more functional type of process in place. So, I mean, that's something that investors should maybe think about. How are the management companies showing prospective homes, and how are they taking care of their homes? And, you know, the first way that we talked about, I don't think works at all personally, but I think the second one offers far more security. So,
right. I agree.
Another thing that investors are always wondering about is how does the management company screen prospective tenants? You know, I was on a real estate blog this morning, and somebody made a comment about, the management company, this is an individual who purchased cash for a home. So their comment was, the management company probably just hurry up and threw anybody in because you weren't holding you don't have a mortgage on the house, so they just wanted to hurry up and get it rented out for you. So they just threw somebody in. Well, I know that a lot of management companies have kind of like their own standard criteria for how they determine whether tenants are going to get into the house or not. And some of the ones I wrote down here, and tell me if I'm missing anything here or not. And this is kind of what I've seen from a lot of management companies. But, you know, first and foremost, they're going to verify any and all income that these people are making, because if the house rents out for $1,000 a month, they technically have to make a minimum of $3,000 a month between their job, their paycheck, any type of assistance they're getting.
Taxes too.
Exactly.
Take home needs to be a minimum of three. We hope to get four.
Okay. Verifying their employment. Wherever they say that they work on that application, we're going to check them out. You know, that's another one. They do background checks. Current or past rental history, you know, that's one big thing.
That's probably my favorite one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but if you told me I had to move every 2 years, I'd want to kill myself.
Well, I mean, the cost involved.
If I see a renter that's lived three places in 5 years.
And it's a red flag.
Even if there's no signs of eviction, even if he's a model tenant, let's say he moved in and leave the place cleaner than he found it. Anybody that's going to move that much, it makes it tough to make a profit on rentals when you have that. But to say that, it's more likely if they were moving that much, it's nobody likes to move. So it's usually because they're getting kicked out somewhere. So
absolutely,
I put that above credit. I put that above job history. I put that above everything.
Well, and that's the thing too, is it's like, you know, being here in Memphis. Somebody not having a great credit score isn't necessarily something that's going to get them turned down from renting a house. I mean, we certainly look at that, but that's not going to be a huge determining factor. One thing that we also look at is do they have any current or pending judgments against them? Things like that, because you can just get in a whole big mess there. So, you know, the kind of the point of this one is you want to make sure that your management company know exactly the process and the screening policy that they have in place for prospective tenants, because if you understand that, then you'll have a little bit better of an idea. Because, you know, you could Craig, and I know that we've seen this before, it doesn't happen too terribly often, but you could get a great tenant come through the system. They qualify every single way. They look like a great tenant. Everything is checked out. And you put them in the house, and sometimes even by the time they're supposed to make the next month's payment, they haven't been in about 30 days. They're not contacting the management company. They're not paying rent, and it could be for multiple reasons. But they qualified on the front end. So when that happens to an investor, their initial thought is the management company didn't qualify them right. They just threw them in. They should have been able to know. But in all reality, sometimes we don't know. I mean, they met all the criteria and they got in.
I hate to say it. I've been duped. You've been duped. We've all been duped.
And yeah.
Sometimes you can do everything right as a management company and somebody just gets one past you. You try to do everything you can, but I mean, sometimes it just happens. And it really stinks, especially when it's one of our investors. But it doesn't happen much. But we try to be really careful. Just we thought we had somebody about to move into one of our properties. This happened just a week ago. It turns out we were checking their employment history that we called. The employer's was obviously a fake. Said, oh yeah, they've worked here. You know, model employee, this, that. And then, it turned out somehow, I forget how the leasing agent or the person we have screening them noticed that something just didn't look right on the check stub. So they caught it that way. Something that small that they noticed something, just the check stub looked tampered with. And so we caught them that way. So people try to get by with stuff. Sometimes you can usually catch them, but sometimes it can be tough.
Absolutely. Another thing to consider is, you know, along the lines of maintenance, regarding how they do maintenance and things like that. And I've had both management companies do this, Craig, because, for example, is the maintenance, is it something that's in-house, or are they subcontracting out? And when I say in-house, do the laborers and the repair people, are they working specifically for that management company to only do the repairs? Because typically when you have a management company who manages a large amount of homes, usually I'd probably say on average 1,000+, they're going to have their own people, because you know the numbers and the statistics are going to be that there's going to be enough work on a consistent basis to hire full-time, you know, handymen, plumbers, HVAC service techs, and things like that. But the reason why I feel that that's personally important, because most management companies who have these people that work for them on staff, on average, there's going to be a 10 to 15% markup on top of whatever the actual cost is. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to be able to respond a whole lot faster. I've, you know, back to that first management company that I was kind of telling you about, when they were getting started, they didn't have that luxury. They weren't able to do that. So whenever I had a maintenance issue, they kind of had subcontracting companies that they would call. And it's the thing that I didn't like that kind of hurt me at the time was they'd send somebody out, and these companies were charging like a $50 to $75 service call fee just to go out there. And then they'd make the repair, and you know the bill would come in, and then the management company also had to add their 10 to 15% on top of that. So it's like
that's expensive.
Absolutely. So that's something that investors should definitely check into. Make sure that the management company has their own in-house people, because they can respond faster and they can get it done cheaper. You know, kind of one of the last things I wanted to touch base here, and I know that this is probably a major important factor for anybody, is you kind of touched on it earlier, the personal touch or the communication with investors. And you know, I actually have multiple management companies for the 20 or so homes I use. I don't just use one company, but of the ones that I use, you know, they do a really good job of letting me know what's going on, either with my tenants or maintenance issues. You want to make sure that your management company is using a legitimate property management software for accounting. So I get detailed accounting. If I have questions, or, you know, obviously I have a little advantage because I'm here local. I could actually drive over there if I wanted to, or I could call them on the phone or email them. But, you know, does the management company, will they return phone calls or emails within 24 hours or sooner? That, to me, seems like a big one. And you know, as management companies get larger, obviously, you know, they're trying to make sure that they're well-staffed for the growth. But, you know, sometimes it is difficult for management companies to literally get back to all their owners. But what are your thoughts on, you know, kind of communication with investors? Because I think that's an important one that all investors are curious about.
It's important. I know these guys want to have a personal touch. As far as communication goes, something that, you know, we hadn't talked about today, communication is, and it seems super simple thing. The thing I think is most important, and what I look at when I'm trying to pick a management company, is communication to the potential renter. I can't tell you how many times I've called a for rent sign trying to find out how much a place rents for, and you know, no one answers the phone. There's an answering machine. They never call me back. And you know, I know when I was looking for companies to manage my homes, one of the first things I do is I call and see if they answer my call with a live person and take it to try to rent the house out. So all I'm getting at, communication is very important with the investor, knowing stuff. But work the you know, if I had to put more money and staff into getting a live touch and a live person and to really enhance communication, it's going to be with a potential customer renting the home, because I think that's really what makes or breaks a management company. Is having someone do something as simple as just answer the phone. It's always, you know, especially with a new investor, you know, they get a new rental, it's their first rental. They want to know every little thing about their properties. And we you know, we try to be mindful of that and help as much as we can. But sometimes it gets, sometimes they need to hire the management company and kind of step back and let us do what they're paying us to do. But in that same note, it is very important to get back within 24 hours. But, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, things happen. Sometimes calls get lost, slip through the cracks. They're busy. But you are kind of right when you said it. It's very critical that if a prospective tenant's calling on a sign, for example, that they get a live person to talk to, because When they roll up in front of that house and they make that call, if nobody answers or if an answer machine comes on,
they're gone.
They're not going to sit around and wait 2 minutes and call again. They might, but chances are there's another house around the corner that they're just as interested in. So, you know, Craig, those are kind of some of the hot topics that, you know, I wanted to talk about today. Is there anything that you think we're missing, or do you have maybe any closing thoughts on any of this? I mean, one thing that I always kind of like to tell people is that cheaper management companies are not always better. And when I say cheaper, I'm talking about when you look at the, you know, how much are they charging? I would be more than happy to pay even more than what I am for my monthly fee and things like that if that would give me some more assurance that they're screening tenants properly and putting the good ones in, and they're professional and licensed, and they've got good workers and agents working for them. So cheaper's not always better. I know that everybody wants to keep costs down and things like that, but what are some of your closing thoughts, Craig?
Well, just that. I've been penny wise, pound foolish too many times to count, and I've gone with the cheap management companies before, but I've seen to do things right, it costs a lot of money today to have a lot of agents, a lot of people answering phones, a lot of staff. It's extremely expensive, and I've been a lot more successful using the more expensive route with management. It doesn't take much to get a place rented in 30 days. If a place on average rents, let's call it 2 weeks faster, and you get a tenant that stays even on average 2 weeks longer, which I think I found that it's more than that. Do the math. It's an extra month rent. It pays for that 1 or 2% really quickly.
Absolutely, you know, and the thing about management, you know, and I don't want this to sound like I'm stepping up for the management companies. I guess I'm a little bit. It's just, being in the management business is a very, very rough, dirty type of job. It can harden people. They can do a lot of things to an individual. And, as investors out there, you know, try to put yourself in a management position. They don't typically hear from investors when everything's going great. They're only hearing from investors when things are going wrong. So, you know,
and the same with the tenants.
Absolutely. So basically, it's kind of a double whammy. Tenants are contacting them when things aren't going right, and the owners aren't. They're not happy as well. So because as an owner, you're not calling the management company right after you get your rental income that came in and saying, thank you so much for giving me my rental income. But if your rent is a little bit short or you have a question and they don't get back to you within 24 hours, surely you're upset and you're letting them know about it. So take it easy on your management companies. They're doing the best they can. So any final thoughts, Craig?
No, you nailed it. It's tough business managing properties. It's the toughest out of all of it. So yeah, try to have an open mind and feel for those guys. I know I do. It's why I hire people to do my management.
Wait, and that's what I was gonna say. You know, of the 20 or so homes that I own personally, I self manage 2, and I almost can't even stand doing that. And I'm here locally. Yeah. I don't want to do it.
No,
I don't have time to do it.
Life's too short.
Absolutely. So that's gonna kind of conclude this episode of Investor Talk Radio. I hope that this information has been informational for you. And if you have any questions, definitely reach out to us. But until next time, we'll catch you later.
This show was produced by Kurt Davis and KurtDavisOnline.com. All rights reserved. To reach Kurt Davis, you can find him on the web at www.KurtDavisOnline.com or email him at Kurt@KurtDavisOnline.com. Everything you heard on this show should not be taken as personal or professional advice. You should conduct your own due diligence. Opinions or comments of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Kurt Davis or KurtDavisOnline.com.